Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM, Talkspace.com/boom, B-O-O-M.
Welcome to Locked On Eagles, your daily source for the best Philadelphia Eagles news and analysis. I am your host, Michael Kist. You can follow my work at Breaking Football, and you can find me on Twitter at Michael J. Kist. That's K-I-S-T. I am here, as always, with my co-host, Benjamin Solak of Bleeding Green Nation and NDT Scouting. You can follow him on Twitter at Benjamin Solak. That's S-O-L-A-K. Ben, how you doing, brother?
Oh, life is a dream, Mike. Always glad to be back on the pod. How have you been? We haven't gotten a baby update in like a week, man. How's little Augustus?
He is amazing. He's been sleeping through most of the night, really just one feeding in the middle of the night. So I have a couple of guys at work that just had babies, and they are getting no sleep whatsoever. And I'm getting a solid 8 hours, man. It's fantastic.
All right. I'm almost certain that's going to end for you at some point.
Hey, don't put that evil on me. Come on, Ben. I'm trying to get your streak of 7 years without a bad day.
Oh, unassailable, man. You read it in the bio. Longest active streak in Chicago, my friend, this side of the Mississippi.
All right, so we're going to jump into some preseason talk. Yesterday, we talked about the Washington Redskins, their preseason games and review, their draft class. We are going to do the same thing with the New York Giants and their preseason game that they just had against the Browns. The Browns came away with a W, 10-6. They are 2-0. Which means absolutely nothing.
Here comes Cleveland, baby.
But that's right. Get your bets in now because they are really low on the Vegas odds. I think they're still under the Jets. I don't think Vegas has moved that. But
oh dear. Have we talked about my love for Sashi Brown? Have we discussed this?
Look, they got the best kicker in the draft in the seventh round. They got my man Zane Gonzalez. You don't find a better steal than that. And they got my QB1 in round two with DeShone Kizer. I absolutely love Sashi.
Oh, no. I've always been a big, you know, the Wentz trade was a win-win. The Browns needed to make those moves. They really needed to hit the reset button on that franchise. Even just for the sake of kind of washing the hands of the fan base and just saying, listen, we're going to nuke this and go ground zero. You know, like that magnitude of a reset needed to happen, number one. And then number two, you see so many front offices say, all right, we're going to accumulate draft capital and we're going to wait to pick our quarterback that we believe in, you know, and we're really going to just go like best player available and just gather all the pieces and be really industrious. You hear so many front offices say that, and then they get tempted and they get nervous and they're worried about their job security and they can't stick to their guns and they pull the trigger too quickly. Sashi's just sat there pretty and done what he thought is best. And then obviously this past draft, I mean, they brought in a haul. You're talking about David Njoku and Myles Garrett. And obviously people had differing opinions on Jabril Peppers, but I loved where he was selected. And then you and I both were fans of DeShone Kizer. I had him as QB1, or excuse me, as QB2, because I was a Trubisky guy. But either way, man, Sashi, I've always said, if I were like a big time writer and I had the resources, first piece I would do would be on Sashi Brown, man. I love that guy.
And the Brock Osweiler trade, doing that trade style, where they got the player and a second round pick.
Yeah.
It was brilliant.
And now you're looking at Osweiler might be starting, which isn't great news.
Oh, right.
But I'm fine. Whatever, I could start as QB in Hugh Jackson's system and probably still produce in some way. Cody Kessler did it, for God's sakes. And there's no way Cody Kessler is that much better quarterback than I am. So
giving Kizer the opportunity to sit, he had some issues reading the field, I thought, a couple nights ago. It's good that they're giving him some time. This isn't a win now thing. So Brock Osweiler starting for maybe the first 5-6 games before they pull the plug on him isn't the worst thing in the world. Now we're going to move on to the Giants. And
oh, right.
We're going
to
talk
about guys we're supposed to be talking about, right? Those guys.
This is about Odell Beckham going down with an ankle injury. This is about Brandon Marshall going down with a shoulder injury, and both were listed as day-to-day. Beckham with a shoulder strain, and then the x-rays on Brandon Marshall's shoulder came back negative, but he's still listed as day-to-day. How does that affect the Giants moving forward?
I mean, obviously, you've got to be very cautious in this third preseason game. I don't know if you caught the report that Odell's looking for a $100 million insurance policy on his legs before he signs a contract or something like that. I have no idea anything about that. That's ridiculous. But, you know, it does put into context some of these, you know, Le'Veon Bell and Aaron Donald sort of holdouts where these guys are saying, listen, you know, there's no reason for me to be playing in the preseason. And if I'm not paid, there's no way I'm getting out there and risking injury. That Odell Beckham Jr. hit, you can call it dirty, you can call it clean, whatever you want. That's still a very reasonable play. Like that sort of a play can happen at any given time. That wasn't like some sort of a freak accident. That was a guy trying to tackle a guy.
It was a bang bang play. Life comes at you fast as an NFL defender. You can't hit him high. He went to make the tackle. I thought it was perfectly clean. No bias at all.
No, and I fully agree. And I can understand why that's so harrowing to Odell Beckham Jr. and to the Giants and to all these other big time players who haven't yet gotten paid. And it kind of puts those holdouts, like I said, into perspective. And then honestly, with the Giants receiving core, it's interesting because I think I was reading this somewhere, and I was reading a breakdown of the game. I can't recall, but they were talking about how there's actually a bit of a logjam as far as tight end goes, where they've got Evan Engram, who they're keeping, and they've got, you know,
they got Will Tye.
Yeah. They've got a few names in there. You know, the thought was, with all of these injuries that are coming with the wide receiver position, and they don't really have too much depth, they might be looking to keep a fourth tight end before they keep like a sixth wide receiver or something like that. So it's definitely something to keep a track of. That being said, the Giants still have some of the best passing weapons in the league. And I know I said that about Washington yesterday, but I think it still holds true for the Giants as well.
Yeah, and that's why it's so important, you know, when I did those season previews, how are we going to match up against these passing attacks? Because they've got some brutal ones in the NFC East for sure. And you look at Evan Engram had a good night catching the ball. He had 3 catches for 32 yards. He struggled a bit in the blocking game. And we're going to go over that draft class and what we thought about these players coming out as we move along. Look, there was one play. I want to go back to the Browns real quick because I really love to see this kind of play in a preseason game by a undrafted free agent. In the fourth quarter, Geno Smith was at quarterback. They're in the red zone, right? Geno Smith goes to, they do a hard count, and the Browns look like they have 7 coming. So 3 extra blitzers coming. The middle linebacker is a guy named Kenneth Alugbode, but he's an undrafted free agent from Colorado. He sees that Geno Smith sees them blitzing. Geno is changing the call, and in the replay, you can see Alugbode listen in and take his mouthpiece out, then communicate the call to call off the blitz, which keeps Brian Bodie Calhoun from blitzing. He drops into the flat. It confuses the heck out of Geno Smith.
And most things confuse the heck out of Geno Smith, so that's not saying too much, but okay, keep it going.
Well, he made the right check into the hot, but you know, this undrafted free agent rookie was able to see it coming, and Calhoun was able to drop under the slant and get the pick, and the excitement from Alugbode after that interception, because he knew that he made the right check off there, was absolutely fantastic. It's one of my favorite things. I'll make jokes that, you know, we watch fourth quarter preseason football and these guys are going to be working at, you know, they're going to be a cashier at Kenny's Shoes in a week. You know, some of these guys are really fighting for a spot, and I think he did really well there. Now, moving along, Geno Smith is terrible. Davis Webb didn't get any snaps. They elected to play Josh Johnson instead towards the end. How do you feel about their backup quarterback situation moving forward?
Right. I think they're definitely looking to figure out the backup situation between Johnson and Smith. Mm-hmm. And they know they're going to be keeping Webb probably third. And as of right now, because no one between Smith and Johnson has kind of broken the mold, has kind of, you know, stepped ahead in the race, I think that they need to look more into that battle than they do need to look at Davis Webb. That's what you have the fourth preseason game for, you know what I mean? Just throw all the third stringers out there, let them try to make money somewhere, and just see what you've got going on. The Davis Webb pick, the best part about the Davis Webb pick was how much first round rumor there was going on around him, how much first round talk there was saying, oh, maybe he'll sneak in the back of the first. There are executives who love him. And then for him to be picked third in the third round by the Giants, only to fall behind Geno Smith in a depth chart, just kills me.
Okay, so Davis Webb, there were reports or people were writing articles asking if he was the next Dak Prescott.
Oh my gosh.
Are we going to bring that up again? Absolutely
no.
Not.
This no. guy,
all's Davis. I get you're visibly upset. People, if you're listening at home, I want you to see the look on Ben's face right now. I might screenshot this because he's rolling his eyes. It's going down. He's struggling.
In order to be the next Dak Prescott, we can't know you're Dak Prescott. That's the entire point. The main thing behind Dak Prescott was that we didn't know he was going to be as good as he was, and we didn't know he was going to outplay his draft stock. So if you're saying somebody's the next Dak Prescott, you're already wrong.
Yeah, it's an inherently flawed argument, and it's absolute clickbait. All right, so you thought we had an issue at offensive tackle. What about the Giants, man? Because Ereck Flowers looked like a freaking turnstile, and you know what? The young depth isn't any better. Adam Bisnawati from Pittsburgh looked awful. I mean, they all look bad. How are they going to give Eli Manning, who is not an elusive guy in the pocket, enough time to get the ball to these weapons?
Right. There's one thing to say, you know, oh, I'm Ben McAdoo. I run an offense where the quarterback holds the ball for maybe half of a second every single snap. It's not like they didn't know what they had with Ereck Flowers. It's not like there was no way you could look at 2016 for the Giants and say, we probably don't need an improvement in offensive tackle. You can't. Like, if you have half a football mind, my mother could figure that out. Like, yeah. Unbelievable. And for them, they brought in Ray Bisnawati with a sixth round pick, and then they brought in Chad Wheeler, the big guy out of USC, as an undrafted free agent. And
garbage.
You've seen nothing from these two players that leads you to believe they can do anything than maybe provide depth. And you've still got Ereck Flowers playing left tackle. Myles Garrett took his lunch money 5 times.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just painful to watch. Yeah, I understand, again, the concept. We're going to get the ball out of Manning's hands quickly. He's only going to make half-field reads. There's going to be option routes built in, so he's going to throw it to space. It's not going to be a problem. That hasn't worked yet.
Yeah.
It hasn't. It's not been successful, and it hasn't been successful with Ereck Flowers at tackle. Eli Manning has zero mobility. And the tight end that you brought in, Evan Engram, who, again, we both like him, he isn't the best blocking tight end, and he never will be. I don't see where the hangup is. Why aren't you bringing in an offensive tackle? I don't get it.
I don't know what they're going to do with that position. Riding with Ereck Flowers for the rest of the year sounds like an awful proposition. One other play that stood out for me was Olivier Vernon running 30 yards down the field with the rookie tight end for the Browns, David Njoku, who's a athletic freak. So that was Olivier had a good game. JPP showed some of the same explosive burst he has off the snap as well. Buying tickets to sports and concerts can be complicated, but there is a better, simpler way to buy with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to live events. With SeatGeek's seamless mobile experience, you can buy and sell tickets in just 2 taps. SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. There's nothing quite like seeing your favorite team or musician in person, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for great value. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone, and it's by far the easiest way I've found to shop for tickets. I can be anywhere, and with just a few taps, I can instantly find seats. I actually just use SeatGeek to buy tickets to see Kendrick Lamar. SeatGeek is designed to make your ticket buying experience easier than ever. SeatGeek saves you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals, and you get the most bang for your buck because SeatGeek grades every ticket based on value to help you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. Plus, every purchase is fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. Make SeatGeek your go-to app for finding the best deals on every type of ticket, from sports and concerts to comedy and theater. Best of all, my listeners get $20 off their first SeatGeek purchase. Just download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code LONFL today. That's promo code LONFL for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Now, Ben, we are going to talk about the 2017 draft, how it went down for the New York Giants, not necessarily our grades, because grading drafts right now is absolutely pointless, but we are going to talk about how we had them on our boards throughout the process. And we've already said that we love Evan Engram. They took him 23rd overall in the first round, 6'3", 234 tight end. We both saw him as a big slot. They haven't used him much in the slot. They've used him outside. They used him a lot in line. I was big on Engram. Really smooth athlete. Great hands, could do everything you want as a receiver, and what the Giants were looking to do was take a strength and make it better, and I believe they did that with bringing in Engram. Let the people know your love for Evan Engram.
Right, I remember we had a conversation about this come draft time, and I eventually ended up with Evan Engram as a wide receiver in my final ranking, simply because I didn't see how you were going to match him up against the other tight ends didn't make any sense. That wasn't where his usage was going to be. A team wasn't going to draft him to be predominantly a blocker or even, you know, occasionally a blocker. And I think one of the things I've loved that the Giants have done with Engram is they've actually played him out of the halfback or the fullback position. They've used him in like wishbone formations, which that's always fun to see. And that's, I think, incredible because you still get him matched up against the guys, you know, the linebackers and the safeties, those folks that he's just going to burn or he's just going to out-muscle them down the field. You still get him matched up there, but you can also work him in as a blocker and you can get him with a full head of steam going at somebody. You can get him lead blocking through a hole instead of trying to seal a defensive end or do something like that. It makes it a little bit easier on him, I think, to come out of a fullback position in the event that he needs to block. My thought when they drafted him was that you were going to see a lot of him in the slot. You were going to see a lot of Brandon Marshall in the slot. and then you're using Odell and Sterling Shepard on the outside, and then you can switch those guys because you've kind of got Marshall and Ingram in similar types and Sterling Shepard and Odell in similar types, and you can use them to create tons of difficult mismatches. We haven't seen that as much in the preseason games. I won't be surprised if we see those personnel sets and those sort of formations in the regular season and they're just holding on to them. But I really think, I do believe, kind of like I do with Pumphrey, as we've alluded to in other pods, that we haven't seen the creativity that they're going to use with Evan Ingram just yet. I think you're going to see more of that come regular season time.
Can't argue with the pick. So this isn't just going to be us crapping on the Giants all day. Unfortunately, I would love to, but Evan Ingram is a beast. And, you know, I hope the kid does well, just not well enough to beat us too badly. Second round pick, 55th overall, Dalvin Tomlinson, defensive tackle from Alabama, 310 pounds. It's a big dude, got a wrestling background, liked his technique. You know, those Alabama defensive linemen know their stuff. How did you have Dalvin on your board?
I think this might have been one on which we disagreed. I can't remember. I did not like how early he was brought in, and I didn't think he was worth a second round pick. Where were you on him?
I am right with you on that. I think I had him on this like in the fourth round, if I'm not mistaken. And I thought it was a substantial reach. I understand why they brought him in because of what Damon Harrison gave them, but I don't think that was the right place for him.
Yeah, I agree. And if you check out the rotation, you know, watching what they were putting forth yesterday, I don't think he got in with the first team at all against Cleveland.
Correct.
Right. And they've got guys who are there. They've got Bromley. They've got Snacks, like you said, Damon Harrison. I didn't see it as a gigantic need. I can understand, you know, obviously building defensive line depth has always been the prerogative of a lot of good teams, and there's nothing wrong with it, but it kind of circles back to that whole, hey, how's your offensive tackle situation going? Hey, how's your running back situation going? You know, how are your linebackers, for God's sakes? Like, this draft did not target needs as far as what I could see, and Tomlinson, a luxury pick too early for me.
You're not going to go with need. You're going to go with best player available. And I thought this pick missed the mark. Round three, overall, 87th pick, Davis Webb. When I watched Webb on tape, I think my laptop barfed a garbage can at me.
That's how it works, yeah.
Yeah. I'm not a Davis Webb fan. I think we've gone on over that already. Do you have any additional thoughts on Webb?
I thought third round was where he should have been drafted. So I liked the value there. As far as the fit in the Giants offense goes, as we alluded to, a lot of quick passes, a lot of option routes, and Davis Webb, all he did was throw nine balls. All he did was chuck the ball down the field. I don't see how his game is going to translate well to that offense. However, I don't think we're going to see Davis Webb run that offense in a serious capacity, at least until 2019, I would say. I think you're still going to see Eli at least in 2018. You know, depending on obviously how the season goes, God forbid there's an injury or something like that. So, you know, he has time to develop in the system. A confusing pick. This is just a confusing draft for me, man. As I look down, I just don't get it. There's one pick I think I really like in this draft, besides Ingram.
This felt like a size arm type pick, and then maybe we can figure the rest out and make something click after a few years. So I get that part of it, but definitely not like an eventual successor to me. All right. In the fourth round, they picked up Wayne Gallman, the running back from Clemson. I like him, man. He's a hard-charging running back. But he does lack some explosiveness. He had a decent night last night. I think he had about 22 yards on five carries, had a nice 11-yard run where he broke a few tackles. I just don't see him as a feature back. I don't see him really challenging Paul Perkins and company moving forward. How'd you like the Gallman pick?
I was not a big Gallman guy, and I received a little bit of flack for not being a big Gallman guy. But he's that example of, you know, for everything at which he was good, to me there was a response. Like, quick feet, but he ran too upright. Physical, but he didn't break enough tackles. Good catcher, but didn't create enough in open space. You know what I mean? Like,
correct.
I love him as a 1B back, maybe, you know, in the sense that if you've got, like, I love Gallman as a backup to David Johnson.
Yeah. Just
David Johnson will go in, get 35 touches a game, and whenever he's, you know, has eight touches in a row and you need to spell him, bring in Gallman, and Gallman won't be bad at whatever you ask him to do, but he's not going to blow you away.
Right.
And yeah, so sure, maybe, you know, if you need running back depth, you grab him, but this running back group was not one that had a standout player amongst Paul Perkins and Orleans Darkwa, my favorite name in the NFL. you know, there was nobody there. I was watching Perkins. Perkins does not, I think he's added mass. Maybe he was asked to, but he does not look as quick as I remember from UCLA, right, or from his rookie season. I think he slowed down a tick, to be honest.
Yeah, and that would be fantastic news for us. I really like Perkins coming out, and you know, there was that one run he had, I believe it was against Stanford, where he made like five or six people miss, and just the jump cuts, the power he got out of those cuts and the burst was incredible. So hopefully that is the case. And we move on to round five. Avery Moss, the defensive end from Youngstown State, one of my sneakier picks that I liked. I watched him a lot when I was watching Derek Rivers. I thought this was a really good place for Moss to go. I like his speed to power. I like his bull rush. I thought he had good hands, or violent hands. What did you think about the Avery Moss pick?
Yeah, this is the one besides Ingram that I can get behind in a big way. And I loved Avery Moss in Youngstown State. I loved his physical profile. I loved the motor with which he played. I thought he had better hand technique than a lot did. Definitely still room for improvement. But he flashed that ability to bend the edge. He flashed the ability to generate an inside rush. He's the sort of rusher that you go get on day three because you know you can get him into a rotation and he'll be able to generate some pressure. Mm. The defensive, the edge rotation for the Giants does look good. You got to say, obviously you've got Olivier Vernon and JPP starting, which is one of the better tandems in the league. Oumagbe Adigizua, the kid out of UCLA, he's been up and down the depth chart. He's definitely looked better this preseason than I'm used to seeing from him. And he was a third round pick a couple years ago, and I liked him coming out, and I liked his 3-year projection coming out. And I think you're starting to see the fruits of that as a guy who had physical tools who's now starting to realize them. And then you've got Avery Moss as the fourth rusher. Those are four rushers that you've got some youth in there, you've got a lot of juice in there, and you've got talent. And I think that'll be a strength of the Giants this upcoming season, is their ability to rotate through their front four, get fresh bodies in there, and generate a constant pressure on the quarterback. That helps mask your linebackers as well, which you desperately need in New York because your linebackers are trash.
Great point. So yeah, overall, the New York Giants draft class, we could get on board with two picks with Ingram and Moss. The rest is kind of a hodgepodge of whatevers. Tomorrow, we are going to be talking about Eagles-Dolphins, the preview for their preseason game. And then, well, we might talk about... Look, okay, I have a confession to make. I looked on Elliot Shore Park's Twitter today.
Oh, God, no.
He posted a link for his podcast. In the description for the podcast, he alludes to taking on, quote-unquote, clickbait. I have not clicked on it yet. It's almost like quitting smoking, which I'm doing right now. It's very, very hard not to take the bait and just cave in and go for it. Hopefully, when you hear this, you won't get the urge to listen to this podcast. I feel if Elliot Shore Parks is criticizing somebody for using clickbait as a tactic that the universe may just implode upon itself. Look, if I come back tomorrow after hearing this podcast and I cave in, pray for me to be strong, number one, tonight, and for the health of my family as well. I may have a rant. I'm not saying I will. I'm not saying I won't. I'm just saying you have to tune in tomorrow to find out.
I can't believe you just made the comparison between quitting smoking and not clicking on a podcast. It's extraordinary. Unbelievable.
All right. So if you want to hear me take on possibly Elliot Shore Parks again tomorrow, and of course our Eagles Dolphins preseason game preview, remember, you got to keep it locked on here on Locked On Eagles. Fly Eagles fly.
Is democracy in danger or decline? Condoleezza Rice, William Galston, and Carlos Gutierrez and others take on this question in the fall edition of The Catalyst, a journal of ideas from the Bush Institute. Surveys show Americans place less trust in institutions like the media and business. Others contend America has faced far more challenging periods and emerged strong. Leading policymakers, Bush Institute experts, and respected journalists take on this debate. Read about it at bushcenter.org/catalyst.